The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started.
And, of course, it is your time now if you're listening to the recording. Welcome, either way. Glad to have you with me here today in the energy and the co-creation. Spring is really springing. The blossoming forth here in New England is very nice to see and feel. And actually having the windows open and the breeze coming in and the sun out there, it just changes things. Changes the chemistry, changes the energy, changes the flow. And I'm going to talk about that kind of flow as we go further on here and continue with the theme that we've been exploring for much of springtime so far. But first, let's connect. Let's go in and make the connections so that we can be as present as possible to co-create together in the strongest way possible what's going to serve each and every one of us here today. So, to start with, we go within to connect with our own divinity, our own empowerment, our own mastery, whatever you want to call it, however you want to think of it. But this is about opening up to that part of you that already knows your power, that already knows the truth of the divine essence that you are. No matter how far buried you may feel like it is in your life, it's there. And so this is about choosing to open to it. And so just let that be your choice right now. I am choosing to open into my mastery. I'm choosing to open into my divinity. I'm choosing to open into my soul, my essence, my empowerment. And perhaps a slightly better way to say it, rather than opening into, opening up to, opening to receive, to allow it to come up, to allow it to expose itself and to express. So just breathe in and open to that intention and allow that energy of your divinity, your mastery, your soul, your empowerment to flow forth into your physical body, into your emotional body, into your mental body, allowing it to spread throughout your entire energy field and flow down into those relationships, all of your relationships, bringing more of your empowerment into each one of them. And just breathe with that. Notice if there's any change that you can consciously put your finger on. Doesn't mean you can describe it. Just let yourself notice any change in how you feel.
Wonderful.
Oh, excuse me, and allow yourself now to open up into that connection with our Mother Earth. And allow yourself to open, set that intention to receive the love and support that she is offering you right now and always, opening to become more aware of it in this moment. And allowing it to flow throughout your being, physically, emotionally, mentally. Filling and flowing through your energy field. And into all of your relationships. And allow yourself to touch in with your gratitude for being able to experience at this time, for being in a body right now, in these dimensions right now, for being able to be alive at this time. And just let that gratitude flow back down to her. And in so doing, see if you can notice an increase in the amount of her love and support you're able to receive. And whether you notice it or not, that's fine either way. But just continue to open in that way to receive and open to allow your gratitude to go back. And let's continue on. And this time, this section, we're opening up into connection with the divine support team that we have, each one of us individually. The guides and angels, masters, teachers, ascended masters, spiritual mentors, all those beings who are not in a body right now, and yet who are there to support you right in this moment. And again, open up in whatever way works best for you, through your heart, third eye, crown, or with your whole being, imagining your whole energy field just yawning to breathe in that love and support from these divine dimensions, these divine beings. And just take that in fully, deeply, let it flow throughout you physically, emotionally, mentally, throughout your energy field and on into all of your relationships. And once more, touch in to whatever degree you're able with gratitude for that support, for all of that energy that is available to you whenever you choose to open to it, to help you move forward on your path. And allow that gratitude to flow back to them. And once more, whew, boy, I must need this a lot. The way I'm yawning here today. Once more, allow yourself to notice as that gratitude goes out, the extra space being created to receive what they are offering to you. And let's step up once again, shift consciousness, knowing that all these connections you've opened up so far, they're going to remain throughout our time here today. And now it's time to open, consciously, to this community, the community of exposing the masters within, all the listeners, all of us who are co-creating this energetically today. And at any time, and opening up into that shared intention that we all have of bringing that mastery to the surface, exposing it, letting it up, letting it out, perceiving it ourselves, experiencing it, and then sharing it with the world. Maybe I need to ask all of you to breathe more deeply. All right. And connect in with that shared intention. Allow yourself to feel it lift you up like a life jacket, like a surfboard, like a hot air balloon. Hot air balloon landed in the parking lot behind my house this morning. It was quite a vision. Waking up to that sound when they do the venting of the heat. And allow yourself to just be lifted by that energy, by that mass consciousness moving in the same direction. And allow yourself to open in thanks for that as well. And let that Thanksgiving go back out, and that will add to that energy out there. The gratitude for the community always strengthens the community. It always increases the energy. So, let that flow as well. I know I'm grateful for all of you, so. All right, let's continue forward. Now we're connecting out, expanding to the larger community of light workers, all those who are consciously walking that path, seeking self-empowerment, seeking empowerment of all humanity, empowerment on the planet as a whole, etc. And this is an even larger wave of energy to ride. Get out your spiritual surfboard and let yourself ride, or let yourself swim. It's very buoyant, this energy. Kind of like floating in the Dead Sea. They say it's really hard to sink there. All the salts, all the minerals, all the good stuff in that water. Well, the same is true here. All the goodness in these energies is just lifts us up into a higher space, more empowered space. All right. And let's go out and get that common denominator. Connect with the mass consciousness of all humanity, but a very specific part of that mass consciousness, the mass consciousness where that spark of our soul never gets extinguished as long as we're in the body, as long as we're alive, that spark of the soul that says, yes, let's make things better. Let's move forward. Let's do that. And so we're going to ride that wave of mass consciousness, that energy of all of humanity and the desire to improve life, to improve our own circumstances, to improve the circumstances of those we love. And allow yourself again to receive that in on all levels, lifting you up and supporting you in moving forward, knowing that it really is true. We are all in this together. And as we connect with these mass consciousness energies, what we're doing is opening into that consciousness of oneness. So just allow yourself to breathe that in for a moment. Okay. And as always, thank you for joining me in that connecting process, in strengthening our connections to each other and to divinity and to our Mother Earth, etc. Because that is the energy, that shared energy that we create here, that is the energy that is shaping what I speak every day, what comes through me. So let's jump right in here. I'm going to talk about PSA today. I'm not going to give you a PSA and not a public service announcement, although I guess it could be considered a public service. I have a different acronym in mind that they handed me this morning. And, well, I've been talking about spring cleaning. I've been talking about completion. As I said, that theme kind of running through the spring programs here so far. And so they gave me a different acronym for today, and the acronym PSA is for Personal Spiritual Archaeology. And that's what we're going to do today. That's what we're going to talk about, and hopefully I can offer you some things that will help you to do that on your own when we're not here directly in this community, although that community energy is always there whether the program's on or not. So you can always choose to tap back in to the support of this community anytime you need a little extra boost, or anytime you just want a little more in your life. And so use that connection. Let it be something that serves you. I know that through the years, one of the common things that has been said to many people in private sessions, in private channeling sessions, and intuitive counseling sessions that I've offered is we don't ask for enough help. And I think that is at the root of how much we struggle sometimes. I don't know about you, but I know for me, when I'm most triggered, when I've got something that is really up in my face, that's when I find it most difficult to reach out to others. Now, I have certainly gotten much better at that than I used to be. Asking for help, seeking out others to offer perspective, to go get the energy work, to get the body work, to get the help in whatever level that I feel like I need it. But that was not an automatic thing. And I know from working with thousands of people, literally, that asking for help is not an easy thing. So before I go very far into the PSA, the personal spiritual archaeology topic here today, I'm going to encourage you to ask for help more frequently. Now, that does not have to be to a healing professional. It doesn't have to be to a channel or a psychic or a medium. It doesn't have to be to an energy worker or a massage therapist or a Rolfer or a Feldenkrais practitioner or any of the myriad of other people out there in the alternative spiritual and holistic worlds that are there to help when you're ready. I'm talking about a much more basic level. We have these connections. Every program, we start the program this way. And I know on those days when I think to do that, when I remember to do that at the beginning of my day, the day seems to go a little better on average. Not that I have bad days very frequently anymore, but they're lifted because I'm choosing to open into the connections. Our connection to Mother Earth is always there. And how often do we go and really embrace it and allow ourselves to experience that community? Well, for those in the Northern Hemisphere, at least spring is coming. So it's time to get out there. Get out there on the earth even more. I know some of you don't live in the climates where you actually have a winter, so you've been out there all winter, but let yourself ask for that help and connect to the help that's available. Because in many ways, that's the piece that matters. It's acknowledging that the support is there. When we're in the energy of being triggered, when we're in the energy of not feeling good enough, not feeling worthy enough, I did something wrong, I've screwed up, I didn't do my spiritual practices well enough, or I wouldn't be having to deal with this issue again, blah, blah, blah. We lose track of the connections that are already there, whether it's to our own divinity within, whether it's to the connection with the earth, whether it's the connection to our guides, whether it's the connection to those others in body, in whatever level of community, whether it's the community of the program, the community of all light workers, the community in your church, the community of other healers that you know, etc. It's about stepping into that space of being able to ask for help and choosing to ask for help on a more regular basis. But in order to do that, I think we need to do some archaeology. Now, what the heck do I mean by this? Personal spiritual archaeology. Well, as one of my clients gets told quite frequently and jokes a lot with Katumi, who is the primary being that she speaks to these days. It's all about me. It's personal. It's all about me and my life. It's all about you and your life. Now, oh my God, that's going to raise the selfish judgment here for some people. And that's okay, because that's part of what the archaeology is it's looking at it when it comes to the surface. But as I've said, I know in numbers of programs, we can only give to others what we allow ourselves to receive. If we don't have it, we can't offer it. So our first priority has to be taking care of ourselves. I can't help someone move forward on their path more than I've moved forward on mine. I mean, I can give them perhaps theories that I've not yet fully experienced, but I can't help them to have those experiences of those theories. I can support them from over here, wishing them well, but I can't take them into an experience I've never had. And we lose track of that in some of these teachings about taking care of others first. Now, obviously, there are times when that's a necessity. Those who are parents or teachers of children or caregivers of children, etc., or of the elderly and the infirm. And there are times when taking care of others is what is the primary need. But, for instance, if that doing that is a path of self-sacrifice for you, then that's not serving you, and you're not going to be able to give very well to those children or to the elderly or to those who are sick, etc. And so it's always something to consider, finding the balance of the energy that we're receiving and the energy that we're putting out into the world. And so the kickoff here, if you will, for this personal spiritual archaeology is stepping into that personal space and being willing to ask for help. Now, again, it doesn't matter. The help can be entirely in the other dimensions. It doesn't have to be someone in this dimension in any particular way or time. But asking for help, opening to receive a change in energy, that's what asking for help is. It's opening to receive an influx of energy that will help you to change your experience, to experience something new. And I'm here to tell you right now, and obviously you don't have to believe me, and you'll only believe me to the degree that you already do love and accept yourself, but you deserve to be helped. You don't have to earn it. It's not about your brownie points. It's not about what you've done in the past to have earned it. As far as I'm concerned, this is not about good karma gets you help and bad karma gets you stuck on the side of the road with no one to help you. This is always, always something that you deserve. Now, it may not come in the way that you think, may not come in the timing you would desire to, but if you ask for help, it will be given. I'm having flashbacks of Dumbledore telling Harry in the Harry Potter movies about that. Help will always be given to those who ask for it in Hogwarts. So help will always be given if you ask for it. Because you are divine, which makes you worthy. No matter what you've done in your life or what you haven't done in your life, you do have that waiting for you, always, that support. So acknowledge that personal aspect. And then personal spiritual archaeology, well, the spiritual component is just what we're doing here in this program, or attempting to do here anyway, moving into the divine experience in every moment. That's my desire. Exposing the masters within is about moving step by step by step by step by step further into connecting with that mastery. First we have to expose it, then we have to bring it up, we're experiencing it, and then it flows forth. And so that's the spiritual piece. And archaeology, well, that's right there in what I just said as well. That's essentially what we do, or what I'm trying to do with you as we walk on this program, is unearth it, expose it, bring it to the surface, Because once it's at the surface, then we can do something about it. Then we can change it. It is very, very difficult to move energies if they're not at the surface. Now, that will be something that I will explain further as I go along here today. But in that sense of archaeology, I'd also like to touch in on archaeology is not just looking at the things that are on the surface. Archaeologists, my first ex-wife, began her undergraduate degree training as an archaeologist. So I heard all about this. But those are the ones that are going to lay out this grid system, and they're going to get out these tools, and they're at times even just using brushes to remove a layer of dust at a time as they dig down and dig down and dig down and find the debris left over from the past. And that's what the archaeology is. It's digging down to find the debris left from the past. Now, multiple ways to think about this, but one that I just was reminded of again this morning, got an email from a friend of mine, and I don't know if it's true for everybody, but a lot of people I know are having very intense things, not necessarily intensely negative, but very intense things, shifts going on right now. And so I threw out a few cliches, buckle up, hang on tight, those sorts of things. And then what came into my head was one of my favorite phrases of all time. A good friend of mine sent me this magnet. It's now in my refrigerator. It says, "Let go or be dragged." And yes, I know the be dragged piece there has a little bit of victimhood in it. I'm a victim of my spiritual path. I'm going to get dragged. But as I shared that in the email this morning, I said something like, well, at the end of that, you can always add or be dragged down by your baggage. And so that's that term baggage. I don't know when that became popular, in the 70s, maybe 60s. For the wounds that we carry around, the old energy that we carry around. But one of the things inherent in that, now most people who are walking some kind of a spiritual path, we definitely have our stories. This is my wounding. This is why it happened. This is where it happened. This is when it happened. This is who did it to me. These are the steps I've taken to move it and transform it, etc. And we have our story of our path. I know my story. My story has molestation at the beginning of it as one of the primary things that got me moving on this path. And I talked last week, maybe, I don't know, one of these programs in the last few weeks about how I can look back at that and not only not get triggered by it anymore, but I actually am grateful for it. I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful because of what it allowed for me to do, what it caused me to do, what it, in some ways, I can look back and say what it required me to do. I needed to deal with those patterns. I needed to move forward on my path, and that's what got me here. That's one of the launching pads for me, was that experience. But it's not been an easy thing to get there. It's something to that we, I think we do, many of us, if not all of us, I think we do on a regular basis, is we tend to try to gloss over the negative. Now, I'm not suggesting that personal spiritual archaeology is about going and focusing on the negative and wallowing in it. We have lots of people walking the spiritual path who are wallowers, and I've done it at times, and most everyone I know has done it at times. We get into that place where there's just too much up, or we don't see the way out, and we're not feeling able to ask for that help for whatever reason, whatever the pattern is that we're in. We're not feeling able to ask for the help, and we're not seeing a clear path out, and we go into the, oh, poor me, pity party. And that's okay. I'm not saying that that's wrong. It's part of the process. And one of the things that this is demonstrating is things coming to the surface. At first, we get overwhelmed by them, especially if they're old, especially if they're deep, especially if they're multi-layered, multifaceted. Oh, I've had this pattern of abandonment in my life. Again, I brought that up. That's part of my story about how I got here. It was those abandonments caused me to keep going. Oh, I thought I was done with that. Nope, I got abandoned again. All right, need to dig a little deeper to go down and get that. And that's kind of the process that where we're getting dragged. Our baggage is there, and it's going to keep coming to the surface, resurfacing until we choose to look at it, until we choose to work with it, and until we move it out. So that's almost an organic part of being on this path. When the things come up, that's not what I'm talking about in terms of the archaeology. It's not that. Because what do archaeologists do? They take some information that they've got. And in some ways, it can almost be likened to the tip of the iceberg, so to speak. For instance, is it Shulman? Something like that. The guy who discovered Troy. When most historians had dismissed the story of the Iliad and the Odyssey as being myth. Now, granted, there's probably lots of myth in them, especially in the Odyssey. But that story of Helen of Troy and Troy being destroyed by the Greeks and all of the rest of that, they took that as just a story. And this particular archaeologist wasn't willing to do that. So he looked at that tip of the iceberg. He looked at what was the information given in the story. And I don't know this in great detail, how he went about it. I don't know what other ancient sources there might be written about Troy, etc. But then he went out and found it. And he used the clues that were available to find the bigger pile of rubble, the debris underneath. And in fact, well, I can't give you the exact number because I'm not certain. There's two numbers in my head. One is 7 and one is 9. But when he found the city of Troy, it was one of 7 cities or 9 cities that had been built on top of each other as the old ones were destroyed or abandoned or whatever through this historical time period. They were built on that same site over and over because it must have been a pretty good site. And not only did he find Troy, he found other things connected there because he was willing to look at the clues and go digging. And so that gets me to what I want to talk about here, the archaeology aspect. Because archaeologists are nothing if not meticulous, at least the good ones. And they're all trained to be that way, whether they all follow it or not. Indiana Jones to the contrary. And what they're looking to do is go through in a systematic way and explore the terrain. As I said earlier, you've probably seen this in movies, whether it's accurately portrayed or not, or documentaries or something, where they literally have those stakes they drive into the ground and they run strings across them to lay out a grid system. And I'm sure they'd use three-dimensional stuff now where they're documenting it in 3D on the computer to literally go in this square foot box or this 3-foot square box, we found this thing 6 inches down and this thing 12 inches down and that thing 18 inches down. And that's not the kind of documentation I mean we need to do in personal spiritual archaeology, but it can help. Now, what am I getting at here? What am I suggesting that you do, or that you attempt, or that you think about attempting? Well, as I said, I've been dealing, I know you guys are probably tired of hearing about my paper and the organizing it, but here it is again. I've been doing that, and it's pretty close to the end. And as a result of that, it got me doing some other things, like cataloging all of the old groups that I've done that I have on these cassettes that at some point will get turned digital, and then I'll have to figure out what the heck to do with them from that point on. But I've got literally hundreds of tapes, if not thousands, over here from groups that I offered before I decided I could join the digital age. And it's been a fascinating thing going back through them, organizing them, putting them in context, looking at which groups I was doing or offering. And another comparison I'm making is with where I was living at the time. I don't know about you. I have kind of a nomadic existence. Since I first was moving out and living on my own at 23, I don't believe I've lived anywhere for more than 5 years at a time. And so I've had 11 different addresses. And so it's not all meaningful, but it gives me this context as I go back and compare or just notice, all right, when I was living here, I can think about what were the relationships? What were my primary relationships, the friendships? Was I dating anyone? Was I married? Was I seeing someone seriously? What was I doing on my path? You know, okay, there I was in massage school there, and this is where I shifted into energy work more, and this is where I shifted into channeling, and this is where I started the traveling. And again, it's not that any particular thing I'm going to see is going to give me the context to clear more things out. I'm looking for the big picture by plugging in a lot of little details. And maybe this won't work for you. Maybe it makes no sense to you, and that's okay. But for me right now, I'm feeling like this is a time when we are being given an opportunity to come to completion. Now, I really haven't talked about this at the planetary level, but I stopped the series of gateway activations in December. And when I stopped it, and I knew when I started it, that's where it was going to stop, at the one with the solstice in December. What I didn't realize was that they would start up again at some point later this year, most likely. And the guidance that I was offered is that the energy had been rising for a very long time up to the point of the solstice, and then it was going to plateau. It was going to level out, and we were going to be given time to integrate. And then at some point, the energy was going to start to really accelerate again. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't any new energies coming in since the solstice, etc., but they're not coming in specifically to lift us. The way I was talking about earlier, going out and riding the wave on the surfboard. Right now, we have an opportunity to really, in that integration of all the shifts that have taken place, we have the opportunity to move a lot more energy out in a place where there's not a storm on the horizon, where it's not a massive amount of energy pushing. I know a lot of people who felt like they were being pushed for a couple of years up to last December. I know I felt that at times. And I'm not feeling that now. I know I've shared earlier as well about how for me on that day, I felt the pressure shift. And I know it was a personal thing, but I also believe it's a planetary thing that we are in that space. I hate to use these negative terms, but this is what comes to mind. It's like we're in the eye of the storm, the calm in the eye of the storm. We had the storm before, and it really pushed us. Now we've made it into the eye, and the storm is going to come back eventually. Now, I don't think of it in those negative terms. I don't like that, putting that out there, but that gives a clear vision for a lot of people that there is an intensity coming again. When it kicks back in, I don't know. And it's not that things haven't been intense, but there's a different kind of intensity. For me, and for, again, a number of the people that I work with or I'm friends with, there's a feeling of open possibility, might be one way to describe it, that's going on right now. But like I said, I'm coming back around to that energy of completion. Now, completion of what? Well, whatever's left, whatever the debris is, if we look at the human energy field, and whenever we have an emotion come up that we do not fully allow to move through, that we do not deal with, that we in many cases do not even acknowledge, we suppress it down, what are we doing? We are dragging not just that chunk of emotion along, but the chunk of experience that was there that we didn't allow ourselves to fully have. So that baggage is literal. Well, in a sense that something energetic can be literal. Although I certainly believe it does build up in the cells of the body. It creates illness and things like that, etc. So that we will pay attention to it. So that we will notice it as that tip of the iceberg. So we can begin the exploration of the archaeology. So let me give an example. And since I've used it before, since I've talked about it, you guys all know it's not going to surprise anyone who's listened to me before, the thing about being molested. Let me go back and chart some of the pieces of how that came to be. That, not the molestation, how it happened, but how I came to use that on my path and move forward with it. Now, from what I've reconstructed, because growing up, most of my childhood into adolescence, I didn't have conscious memory of being molested. Did I know something was off somewhere in the background? Yeah. And now, when I say that, there are going to be some people who are going to think, oh, well, he made it up later. Or that's a recovered memory. There were, you know, people who, psychologists or whatever, who did past life regression or hypnosis to try and recover memories. And there were a number of them, theoretically anyway, I've not done the research, but who essentially convinced people that they were victims in those ways. Mine, that's not how I came back. I knew someone who was aware that she was molested. And at that point, I was just getting in touch with the body-mind thing, that connection, and exploring that for myself. And as she was talking about it, it started ringing some bells. And I read part of the book that she had, whatever the book is that's the Bible for molestation, and it started to wake things up even more. But that wasn't – even that was still just suspicion. Until the day that I got triggered into my shame pattern in the deepest way I could remember consciously. And what triggered it doesn't matter. What matters is that that's what I was feeling. I was feeling pure shame. I was also feeling angry. I was feeling frustrated. I was feeling like I just wanted to quit. I wanted to go away. And then out of the blue, as I'm trying to express these emotions and trying to move this, I went into a spontaneous regression. And this was not just visions. It was not just memories coming up. It was my physical body going through the experience. I was going through the falling backwards to try and getting away. I was going through the choking. I was going through the tension, the fear, the pain, where I had fallen, etc. And I couldn't stop it. And it just kept moving through in waves. And there was no way I could ignore it. So now it's in my face that this definitely happened to me. And I continued to look at that book and tried to move the energy. And somewhere in this range is when I started massage school. And in massage school, we did have some group therapy, although I was not ready to go into it there in group therapy. I don't believe I did. But I was learning how to use energy work, to do energy work on myself, which I embraced wholeheartedly. I was also having other regressions. Now, they were certainly not all about being molested. Most of them were not. Many of them were more emotional regressions, and I would have this emotion triggered in me, and suddenly I would be a 5-year-old. Or I would be an 8-year-old, or I would be a 2-year-old. And I was in that emotion and in that memory to a degree, but it wasn't the memory, it was I'm experiencing it right now. I'm a 2-year-old right now. Well, needless to say, this is more than just the tip of the iceberg. This is the iceberg coming up. This is, it's up in my face, what do I do with it? Well, once it's up, then I was using the tools that I have that I had at the time and learning new ones to try and deal with it. Learning the massage, learning the energy work to move those out. Doing, receiving the other kinds of work from others that I was receiving at the time. And just kept working with it, kept working with it, kept working with it, kept working with it. And there were times when I was working with it certainly more consciously than others. A lot of the times in the energy work I did on myself, I wasn't trying to define what it was I was moving. If there was energy up, if the energy's already surfaced, if the triggering is going on, that kind of organic process, when the energy's up, if it's up and it's negative, it's up to be moved. That's two. Straight channeling right there. So I was doing that, but I was also gradually looking at how these pieces fit into what was going on in my life, how that fit into the pattern of being abandoned. I felt abandoned, or that would not have happened to me. I felt like I was left out to dry, so to speak, when I got molested. I wasn't taken care of. I wasn't supported by those who should have supported me, or even maybe was betrayed by some of those who should have supported me. So it's gradually pieces are coming to the surface, coming to the surface, coming to the surface, working through those energies around sexuality and the problems around it, the distrust around it, etc. Gradually different pieces came to the surface to be moved out. When they would come up, I would take a look at them. Well, I've gone further. Recently, just in the last couple of years, I've had multiple awarenesses come to the surface that are related to this because I've kept working with it. One of them is that I got a program embedded in me very deeply out of being molested that if I draw attention to myself, I could get abused. That was this huge aha that I had, that it was that deep of a program, and that was part of my reluctance to put myself out there in the world, etc. And I had to get that to the surface so that I could even start doing this radio program, so that I could step up. And that's another part of why I'm sure this is called exposing the masters within. It's getting that courage to let myself be seen. Anyway, I worked with that further to clear that no, I don't. Doesn't mean I might get abused. Well, as I dug deeper, the program wasn't just that I might get abused, it's that I will get abused. If I stick my neck out, if I show my face, if I allow others to see who I really am. And so I kept going and kept going and kept going, dealing with each piece as it came to the surface. And this is like the archaeology thing. You deal with the top layer, and then you go down to the next layer. You go down the next layer. You go down the next layer. You go down the next layer, which is another reason I like this metaphor of archaeology for what we're doing here. Because it does give a mental picture to the understanding that just because I've dealt with this issue once doesn't mean I'm done with it. Because I only dealt with it as far down as I was able to dig that particular time. I mean, if I go back to 1990, whatever that was, when I had that spontaneous regression about being molested, there's absolutely no way I could have gotten all of the energy, gotten to all of the levels that was about at that time. I wasn't ready. I hadn't moved far enough on my path. I moved far enough on my path that I was ready for it to come to the surface, that I was ready for it to be so real that I couldn't ignore it, that I had to deal with it. But there's no way I could have dealt with it all at once. And that's something to be very grateful for. We don't have to deal with all of any issue all at once. God knows it will come back around again. And the next time, there will be less of it. It may feel worse because we are getting deeper and more present in our own energies because we are allowing ourselves to feel more of what's going on. But the more deeply we're feeling it, the faster it will move through. Especially putting it in the context of, I'm choosing to experience it in order to move it. And especially putting it in the context of, I'm doing my personal spiritual archaeology. I am bringing divinity into the moment for myself. And in so doing, I'm uncovering the debris from my life, my previous life. So maybe next week, maybe, we'll see. This is weird, getting things in my head a week in advance. Maybe next week I will talk about soul contracts and how that relates to all of this and that archaeology. But, you know, do what works for you, most definitely, in terms of what you choose to do with any of this that I offer. But I got to tell you, this is uncovering a lot for me. To go back through my life and look at it in different layers, to look at the layer of where I'm living and what was I going through at that time in my healing process. What was coming up for me to offer in the world? What kind of work was I doing? What were my relationships like, etc., and see where they overlap and where they intersected and which pieces came together. Now, let me tie this up here. I don't know if it's in a neat little bow or not, but I'm not suggesting that we go back and dive into the past and live there. I'm suggesting going back so that we can complete those energies. What do I mean by that? Well, so that we can move out that negative emotion that got suppressed or stored in a given moment, in a given situation, in a given circumstance that we've carried forward as our baggage. Now, one of the things that I love that I've shared for years, and I don't know if it came in channeling originally or just in one of my workshops, but is this. When we let go of that old energy, when we allow that old emotional energy to move out, we not only gain access to that emotional energy that is now free to move, but we also gain access to the energy that we've had to use all these years to hold that, to suppress that energy in place. So it's almost like we get a bonus. And that's what, to me, the goal is of this. If it's not at the surface, we can't deal with it. Well, that doesn't mean we have to wait until we get triggered and it explodes. We can do the archaeology and go back gradually. We can look at things and try to put them in their place with a goal of completion so that we can get as much of our energy back in flow as possible so we can be as much in the moment and present as possible. And yes, every time we get triggered, we can apply these tools as well. Once the wave of overwhelm and the wave of too much and the wave of this sucks and the wave of self-pity and wallowing moves through. And may that time frame get shorter and shorter for each of us. Anyway, so I think that's enough. I don't know if you like the bow or not there at the end, but it's time to do some channeling. So just allow your breathing to deepen while I do the toning to bring in our guest for today's program. Hello, dear ones. This is Anubis. Come to be with you today. Welcome. So, for those of you who do not know the name Anubis, we carry the energy of death and completion. And so, we are here to offer you our services. When you are feeling something arise, when you are feeling something come up that needs to complete, that you are ready to complete, it is time for you then. It is time for you then to call upon us, and we will come with you to close the doors, to move the energy, and to own your energy and your life again. So if you would right now, just for a brief moment, offer up whatever you are ready to let go of, whatever you are ready to complete. You do not have to know consciously what it is. If you know it consciously, that is fine, and we will help you to move a bit of it. Now a show to follow this one, so we will need to complete our time. But know that we will come with you to aid you to unearth, to dig up the dead so that you can put them on the fire, to transmute them so that you can release the energies and free them for your life. Much love, dear ones. Namaste.